morning. Grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. We have come together to worship God and to both celebrate the life and mourn the passing of Douglas McCrum. It's good to come together in this time and to draw comfort from one another and from the Word of God. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss and reminding one another of our hope in God's promises for eternity. May God grant us that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow hope, in death resurrection. Hear these words from the Holy Word. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And from John, I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And from 2 Corinthians, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Would you join me for our call to worship? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God gives power to the faint, and to the one who has no might, God increases strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose love never fails, and who can turn the shadow of death into daybreak, help us to receive your word with believing hearts, so that hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted out of darkness into the light and peace of your presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 625 in the hymnal. It's How Great Thou Art. seated. Douglas McCrum was born in Queens, New York on February 20th, 1927 to Wilbur and Julia McCrum. He had one brother named Donald. Douglas served his country during World War II, and after his service, he went on to have a remarkable life. As I talked with the McCrum family, I was struck by their admiration for their father, their husband. They were obviously proud of the man that he was and all that he had done with his life. And so his son Tucker will now share with you about his father.
Good morning. I'd like to start by thanking all of you that came today to pay tribute and honor my father, especially those who have traveled a far distance. My family and I thank you. My dad, who was Douglas McCrum? Father, husband, grandfather, teacher, sportsman, Christian, fun-loving, lover of life. He shared his love in many ways, but mostly through his words and actions. Born into a loving home in Queens, New York in 1927, my dad's father was a banker, his mom was a homemaker. From an early age, he had a love of sports, which carried on throughout his life. He was recognized as a top athletic talent, especially in basketball and baseball. He played semi-pro baseball at 17, with other teammates all in their early to mid-20s. He was that good and was actually the starting third baseman after graduating high school for the AA farm team of the baseball New York Giants before they moved to San Francisco. He may have had a bright future ahead of him as a ball player. However, World War II was raging, and he had to make a decision between baseball and serving his country. He chose the latter and enlisted in the Navy. Upon completion of his service, he took advantage of the GI Bill and attended and graduated with honors from Springfield College in Springfield, Massachusetts. He already knew from a very early age what he wanted to do with his life. He wanted to be a physical education teacher. He was one of the only people I have ever known who knew exactly what they wanted to do with their career and followed through and did it. At one point, while attending Springfield, he did have a desire to become a doctor. I have no doubt in my mind that had he pursued that path, he would have succeeded. He loved anatomy and physiology and was fascinated with how the human body functioned. In the long run, though, he remained steadfast in his strong desire to teach, specifically to be a physical education teacher. One Saturday during his sophomore year of college, he met my mom. It was a social dance at the local YWCA. All local servicemen stationed at a nearby installation and students of the all-male Springfield College were invited. At the time, these dances were strictly monitored and chaperoned. You were to dance one dance with a partner, then move on to the next partner. No dating, no hanky-panky. This was 1947. My dad was and remained his entire life a very religious person. In fact, he was a very active member of this church I stand in today for 56 years. He was a deacon, an elder, and chairman of many committees in this church. Church was paramount in his life due to his mother, who knew her Bible, therefore my father knew the Bible too. He was raised as a Methodist. The Methodist church in the city of Springfield was on the complete opposite side of the city, and to get there from college was quite a journey. Two bus rides and half a mile walk, to be exact. The following Sunday, after the YWCA dance, my dad made the trip to the Methodist church. Unknown to him was that that was my mother's home church, Trinity Methodist. He arrived that day, and after looking through the congregation for a seat, he spotted my mother. He waited until the service concluded and struck up a conversation. She remembered him from the dance. They became fast friends, and for the next 3 years, my dad's college years, they remained just that. Upon graduation in 1950, my dad was offered a teaching position in Rumson, New Jersey. No way was he leaving this wonderful woman behind, and at that time he proposed. My mom accepted, and very shortly thereafter, they were married at Trinity Methodist Church. They remained life partners for an incredible 68 years. Dad taught phys ed at Rumson Country Day School for 4 years. During that time, my sister Susan was born. My dad decided to switch from Rumson Country Day School to Shrewsbury Borough Grammar School, a public school which offered benefits, which Rumson, as a private school, did not. He was the first physical education teacher at Shrewsbury. It became common knowledge very early on that his phys ed program was very unique. He was constantly approached by fellow phys ed teachers regarding his program and innovative methods. 32 years later, he received the ultimate recognition one could achieve in his field as he was awarded the annual New Jersey State Governor's Teachers Recognition Program Award for exemplary teaching and service. His 36 years as a phys ed teacher were legendary. Because his ambition early on was to become a phys ed teacher, he absolutely loved what he did for a living. He possessed a positive attitude every day he was in gym, and that attitude trickled down to all his students. He always referred to his students as his kids. These kids, and almost everyone else in Shrewsbury, affectionately called my dad Mr. Mac. At school, from the age of 6 to 13, the formative years of life, these kids had gym class twice a week with Mr. Mac. Everyone loved going to gym class with Mr. Mac. He wasn't just a gym teacher. He took pride in what he did. He had such an influence and such an inspiration to hundreds of Shrewsbury students. He took a genuine interest in every student, good athlete or not. In his mind, all students were equal, and he brought out the best in the majority of his kids. He did more than just teach different sports. He taught life lessons to all his kids during those formative years. They did not realize it at the time, but they were being taught sportsmanship, leadership, camaraderie, fair play, equality, teamwork, dependability, and character building. All of this while having fun in gym. Most everyone in his classes felt comfortable around Mr. Mack, and after 8 years, developed close personal relationships with him. Over that 8-year period, he instilled a feeling of confidence and self-worth in his kids. Again, lessons were learned for all in Mr. Mack's classes, but personal lasting memories were abundant. Any student who had Mr. Mack will never forget square dancing. Climbing the rope, tumbling, the bamboo poles, the limbo sticks, trampoline, intramurals, and to start each class, the dreaded calisthenics. During it all, he made it fun, but all were learning at the same time. He also had hundreds of nicknames he coined for students and so many classic Mr. Mac lines, such as no huggy bearing during square dancing and don't wear orange or you'll bark at the moon. From grades 1 to 5, you got patty whackings on your birthday with the entire class counting down your age. Unheard of in this day and age, but back then, right? Back then, kids couldn't wait to get their patty whackings from Mr. Mack. During the summer months, my dad continued as a teacher and mentor to others. He was the director of YMCA Camp Arrowhead Day Camp in Marlboro, and later summer recreation director for Shrewsbury Recreation Department. Same approach, same methods, same techniques, all applied as in gym class, just a different setting. Always the teacher, enjoying his work while directing and mentoring camp counselors and recreation leaders along with the kids. Through it all, positive energy and fun-loving nature that was my dad was fully intact and on display. Again, loads of memories during all those summer months. Due to all the students and campers my father had over the years, including all the mentoring he did, he built many close and long-lasting relationships. Evidence of this is apparent by the number of ex-students in this church today. At school, his door was always open. He would get visits from students current and past. At our home, people would routinely drop by or call to talk to Mr. Mack. 20, 30 years after graduating from Shrewsbury, they never forgot my father and would stop by to reminisce or seek advice or guidance years later. He was just that kind of guy. Above all else, even his beloved teaching and students, my father's main priority in life was his family. He loved us as much as we revered him. He was a classic, and he was all ours. He was a great father, husband, grandfather, and always the provider. My two sisters, Susan and Holly, my mom, and me were certainly blessed and so fortunate to have this amazing and wonderful man in our lives. He was always there for us, whatever the case. Some of the best times and memories I ever had with my father were having a catch with the baseball in the street during late afternoons after he returned from his school day and just before he ate dinner and set out for his second job working at the YMCA in Red Bank at night. That and playing golf together whenever and wherever for countless years together. He was an avid golfer and got me hooked at an early age. He'd spend time with Susan, Holly, or me after dinner doing homework, reading, or getting a back scratch from one of us, which he loved. Then off to his job at the Y. We also bonded with Dad by having supper as a family every night, discussing the day's activities. My two sisters and I all had a special bond with our father, and our memories of our time spent alone with him or as a family are abundant and never to be forgotten. Lastly, my mother, such an angel. My father absolutely cherished my mother. God was looking down on them both that fateful day back in 1947. Some of my dad's finest qualities and attributes were definitely a result of my caring and loving mother. She inspired him, and he learned some of his own life lessons from her. They were quite a team for over 70 years as life companions. All that knew them as husband and wife can attest to the deep love that they had for each other. In closing, this is a summary of my incredible father. How lucky was I to have such a great dad? Crazy, crazy lucky I was. I love you, Dad. Rest in peace. No matter where I am or what I am doing the rest of my life, your spirit will always be with me. Thank you.
Douglas was preceded in death by his parents, Wilbur and Julia McCrum, and his brother, Donald. He is survived by his wife of 68 years, Dorothy, his daughter, Susan, and her husband, Doug, his son, Tucker, and his wife, Ellen, his daughter, Holly, and her husband, Chris. He was a wonderful grandfather, leaving behind Tessa, Ross, Grace, Jack, Will, and expectant great-granddaughter Luna Pearl. Helen Keller once said, "What we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we love deeply becomes a part of us." A part of Douglas McCrum remains in the hearts of all who loved him. He He will be lovingly remembered by his family, by all of us. May peace be to the memory of Douglas McCrum. Let us pray. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your servants, who having lived this life in faith now live eternally with you. Especially we thank you for your servant Douglas, whose baptism is now complete in death. We praise you for the gift of his life, for all in him that was good and kind and faithful, for the grace that you gave him that kindled in him the love of your dear name and enabled him to serve you faithfully. We thank you for his kind and generous spirit, for his affection and care for those around him, his family, his students, his church, his community. We thank you for his amazing love for his wife, his children and grandchildren, and all of his extended family. For Douglas's big, loving, good-natured heart, we give you praise, O God. We thank you that for Douglas, death is now past, and pain and limitation ended, that he has now entered the joy that you have prepared for him and is once again leaping, running, and dancing. For this life well lived, we give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing together hymn number 649, Amazing Grace.
Today, I will be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Jack. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when we come to celebrate a life at its end, in a funeral or a memorial service, we often have troubled hearts. The person we knew and loved is gone, torn from us by death, and we are sad and sometimes confused, and our grief can be overwhelming. But we come to these services, too, to also hear God's word, to be reminded of our hope and of God's promises for eternity, and those reminders help our hearts. That's what Jesus was trying to do in this passage that I just read from John. He was reminding his disciples and us that in his Father's house there are many dwelling places, mansions, places to live, whatever you want to call it, and he has gone to prepare a place for us. And he doesn't stop there, but he also promises to come and take us to be with him. Promises that we get to be there with Jesus in heaven. Promises that Douglas, Mr. Mack, Dad, is there with him, even now. And so we can be comforted by this promise, by the promise that our loved one has gone before us and is even now with our Lord. I don't know this church, never been here before. My name's Jill, by the way, and I'm from Seabrook. I don't know this church, but and I do know a lot of churches, though, and I don't know what this church does for meals, if they have church suppers. But in the church I grew up in, we had a lot of church suppers, and the men did the cooking, but the women did the desserts. Maybe that's why I like the story about the fork a lot. You may have heard it. It's an old one. It's about a woman who was sick. She was dying. And she asked to meet with her pastor to talk about her funeral, and they talked about it. And then she said, and I want to be in my casket with a fork in my hand. And I want you to stand next to it and explain to people why I have this fork. She said, all my life I've gone to church, and I've gone to church suppers, And at the end of the supper, someone would come around and collect the plates. And if they said to me, keep your fork, I knew something good was coming. It wasn't going to be just Jell-O. So I want you to tell people that I have that fork in my hand because I know something good is coming. She believed. She believed God's promises. She knew. She didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but she knew that eternal life with her Lord would be wonderful. In the Presbyterian tradition, a funeral is called a witness to the resurrection. For in this service, we remember and give thanks. And we talk about the deceased person's life, but we also talk about and celebrate eternal life. What 2 Corinthians calls our eternal house in heaven. What John calls the place where Jesus has gone to prepare for us. So we gather today not just to eulogize Douglas McCrum and list his many accomplishments, not just to remember and celebrate his life, although it is a life well worth celebrating, but to also celebrate that Douglas, a believer in Jesus Christ, has achieved eternal glory. He believed, and we believe, that his days of limitation and illness are ended, and he is even now begun a new life in the heavens with his Lord. And so we gather today to fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, on the eternal. I've shared a few times in funerals before about a vivid memory I have from my teaching years. I only taught for 4 years, but I taught on an Indian reservation in North Dakota, and they assigned us to teacher housing. And I was moving in with another young teacher. I think we were both about 23. And before we moved in, she made me promise not to die while I lived with her. And then she told me what she wanted done at her funeral. I thought that was a little unusual at 23. Turns out she had had a roommate in college die while they were together, and she didn't want that to happen again. So I promised her that I would not die while we were living together. But I had a little harder time agreeing to her funeral plans because Michelle wanted all of her friends and family to get together and sing all night. And I said, well, let me get this straight. We're going to be sad because you died, but you want us to sing all night? And she said, oh, no, you don't understand. The hymns will remind you of why we sing, why we have joy, why it isn't sad that I'm gone. They will remind you that I'm in heaven with God, bouncing around on those clouds. She actually believed that you bounce on clouds there. I'm not so sure. But I still thought it was odd that to ask your roommate or tell your roommate at 23 what you wanted to have done. But I was so impressed with her faith. At 23, she knew. She knew the promises of God for eternity. She knew the love of Jesus Christ our Lord that make those promises a reality. And so she could sing and believe that we could sing at her funeral. Sing the songs of faith and the proclamation, the hymns that lift up our hope and lift up our hearts. That's what a funeral is meant to do. Lift up our hope and lift up our hearts. Help us to celebrate the life and the eternal life of our loved one. And to remember that these promises are for us as well. I'm told that Douglas loved the hymn, Shall We Gather at the River. His family wasn't quite sure that it was right for a funeral service, but I told them it was. If you listen to the words, and we're going to sing it in a little while, you will no doubt see why it is very appropriate. The words at the beginning say, Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." That is our promise from Jesus himself. His Father's house has many rooms, a place prepared for us, and Jesus will take us to be with him. Jesus has taken Douglas already to be with him forever, and so we celebrate this great good news. We mourn our loss. Yes, we will remember and celebrate his life and the person that he was. But we also remember and celebrate his faith, the promises that he held on to, that he believed in. And we will sing of those promises, that faith, together. And we will sing of the day when we will all gather at that place. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Amen. Will you join me, please, in our unison reading of Psalm 23? It's in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Number 375, shall we gather at the river?
Gather at the river where
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the reminder in your words of our hope for eternity. We thank you for your love for Douglas and for the fact that you have taken him home to you. May we cling to those promises this day and in the days ahead. May we draw comfort from them and from you. Bless those who gather here and those who mourn the loss of this wonderful father, husband, and friend. And hear us now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Douglas McCrum. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen. Please.